delighted to be in with you tonight. I'm looking at 2045.com, 2045.com, that our guest tonight, Anthony Gucciardi, told us about, as well as his own websites, naturalsociety.com and storyleak.com. Check out 2045.com. There's a thing here, Consciousness After Death, Strange Tales from the Frontiers of Resuscitation Medicine. And it seems a fellow named Sam Parnia practices resuscitation medicine. And he says, the evidence we have so far is that human consciousness does not become annihilated. He's a doctor at Stony Brook University Hospital and director of the school's resuscitation research program. It continues for a few hours after death, albeit in a hibernated state we cannot see from the outside. Well, when you combine an article that you can access from 2045.com, and you also see the open letter to UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon, 23 scientists, technologists, entrepreneurs, and spiritual leaders issue open letter to UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon to support the forming of a new evolutionary strategy for humanity at the second International Global Future 2045 Congress in New York, June 15 and 16. So if you look at this, nano-scale pressure sensors mimic human skin, world's most human-like android head. Brain cells will control the power plants of the future. iRobot, how billionaire Dmitry Itskov plans to make humans immortal. But which humans? Do you want to be on that list? What happens when you live forever, I wonder? We'll get into this and ever so much more as we amble on through the night here on the mothership that is Coast to Coast AM. Please stand by. Anthony, what were you talking about a while ago? You said you had developed something that you didn't want to mention because you didn't want to plug it? Or did you say that you couldn't plug
it? No, no, no. Yeah, I have a natural supplement company, and I was talking about how impossible it is to develop something. It's a turmeric product, something so healing and natural to get it out there. It's nearly impossible with the FDA regulations.
Well, you've got a few million listeners right now. If you want to tell them about it, you're welcome to. And if you don't, that's all right too. But you have the floor.
I appreciate that. Yeah, the supplement company is called Natural Attitude, and we make a turmeric product. It's an extract of turmeric. It's liquid. It's sold through the Natural News store, actually, naturalnews.com. Mike Adams there. And the reason I didn't want to plug it is because I don't want to come on here and act like that's why I'm on here. But the point is that it's nearly impossible to get something through that's healing and powerful like that because of the way that they strictly regulate every word. If you say one wrong word, you can't say treat, cure, prevent, or I could be in jail right now. Yet look at what Monsanto can do and look at what these guys can do over at 2045. All these people can say anything they want unless you're on the right side. Then the FDA will come after you.
Yes, they will. In fact, some years ago, I contacted one of the, I just happened to contact this this nutrition company that was putting out an HGH product. And a man got on the phone and said, we got rated heavy because apparently one of their ads had said something about, something had regrown or some amazing reversal of an ailment had occurred. And they played this as an actuality. Now, I didn't hear anything more about the story. I don't know if this was like, I am a paid spokesperson, and this did not really happen to me. I didn't hear that disclaimer or anything of the sort, but it just goes to what you were saying. If you don't do it just exactly right, they'll come down on you like a grand piano off the 10th floor.
Well, hey, consider the fact that Google now, this is breaking news, not previously released, so this is your exclusive now. Google is working with the FDA to crack down on natural health websites over claims for products. I talked to someone named Dr. Group. He's a close friend of mine. He's actually with me on Natural Attitude. And his website, Global Healing Center, he has a bunch of products up there. And all the claims have been greenlighted by the FDA, right? But Google came in, and they're telling people now, you can't say those things, even if the FDA greenlighted it. Well, Google's not going to stand for it. Google is now the new internet cop. And guess what? If you're not on Google, you're not online. I mean, Google is the central nervous system of the internet, and they're harnessing their power in a way that they can tell you what you can and cannot say online. And that ties into also this new article just came out yesterday or day before. Governments are now demanding Google censor online criticism at record levels. So governments around the world. You saw that, didn't you?
I did. Go ahead and expand on that a little bit, because I think people should know that your freedom of speech is about to go away, at least as far as the online world is concerned.
Well, that's right. I mean, it shows that the alternative news is working. Here's what happened. The governments around the world, United States government, everyone, you name it, it doesn't specifically list. It says Brazil, Russia, U.S., et cetera. Over 24,179 pieces of content online. They're now under attack by governments, only governments, that are telling Google, you better remove this government criticism or else we're going to sue you or whatever. They're issuing takedown notices, which is what you do when you want something removed offline. So they're saying, Google, you better get rid of this. If you have a Google Plus profile, if it's on Google, if anything, anywhere, if, as long as Google can access it, it needs to be removed 100%. They want it off the search engines. And this is from the Google blog, too. This isn't just something that, you know, some alternative news website's reporting on. I mean, it's on StoryLeak, but I'm referencing the Google blog. So they quote, as we've gathered and released more data over time, it's become increasingly clear that the scope of government attempts to censor content on Google services has grown. In this particular time period, we received court orders in several countries to remove blog posts criticizing government officials or their associates. So they're literally saying you cannot say that. And they're saying, Google, you better remove this or else. And it's going to be really interesting to see if Google says yes, because if they do start removing stuff, it's game over for Google. I mean, we should stop using Google anyway for numerous reasons, but Google is the central nervous system. It's how a lot of websites, including mine, get hits. I mean, at least a third or more of our hits are from people trying to find out alternative news information and get away from the mainstream media. But it might just come down to the point where Google says, hey, it's a scapegoat or not, I don't know, but they'll say, you know, the governments are coming after us to such an extent that we have to at least censor some stuff that is potentially dangerous. And then it'll be, you know, oh, this stuff is dangerous. This is violence inciting or whatever. They'll just make stuff up until the point where really to get on Google, you just have to agree and you can't criticize the government. And people think this is crazy. Literally, they say government criticism needs to be taken down. This is from the Google blog. So they're coming after us.
Yeah, well, when you consider that Google Earth, for example, I was wondering, don't they use government satellites? And then in one of the blogs, I got several screens up here, they use NASA's satellites with restrictions built in. Could be how close you get to the subject that you want to have a look at. Certainly, there's a Google military division. I'm thinking that now for Maine, the state of Maine, the images are supposed to be from the Maine Geological Survey, but the Maine Geological Survey, that doesn't sound like a private company to me. So, of course, Google is the government. There's a huge CIA, NSA, DIA, FBI, BB King component in all of this. Of course there is. And we know, don't we, Anthony, that politicians who make up governments prefer unarmed, uneducated peasants.
Well, that's
much easier to control 100%. Than an enlightened society.
And here's the thing. Let's get into that. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm not somebody that's some crazy gun nut, you know, going out shooting every single day or anything like that. But I think it comes down to the fact that all of these fronts that we're being battled on right now, I mean, gun control, for example, or CISPA, the Fourth Amendment really is just completely ignored. But gun control is not about guns. It's about people control 100%. They don't care about the guns in many circumstances. Obviously, they want to get rid of the guns, but they care about controlling the people because they're megalomaniacs. And the former Obama Secret Service member, did you hear about that guy? He came out, and he didn't even retire with money. He just quit because he said he couldn't sit by while Obama was enacting all this gun control and disarming the public. And he says, too, that he's not some gun nut. I never even cared about guns at all. In fact, I was, like I said, a health guy, you know, not really into that kind of stuff. And when I looked at the statistics, and I have them all here, I have 100 pages of statistics. We obviously, you know, don't want to bore everybody here. I have 100 pages of statistics. I sat up multiple nights in a row. I mean, 8 a.m., 9 a.m., not sleeping, staying up till that time, listening to Coast to Coast in between, and compiling all this information. When I found out the reality of what's going on with this whole gun control debate and all of it, everything, CISPA, all of it comes down to the fact that it's literally lies. It's complete contrived BS. It's garbage. And they're not telling you that for good reason. In fact, I did an interview. I decided to make a documentary on this subject. It's called Disarmed. It's called Disarmed, A Brief History of Gun Control. And it also explores constitutional rights and everything like that. But we interviewed a bunch of people. We started talking about what do you think versus reality. Kind of like those Mark Dice videos where they sign away their Second Amendment. Well, we did some kind of stuff like that. We asked people, I asked somebody, I'll ask you, I'm sure you're an informed individual, so you would know. But why instead, you tell me what you think and what you think people would say. I asked them, how many people are killed per year from rifles?
Oh, there's no telling what they would say. What would I say? Well, far fewer than are killed in automobile accidents.
What do you think they said? I have this on video. I asked about 20 people. I said, how many people do you think are killed from rifles?
And I'm going to guess they said 100,000.
100,000, yeah. One guy said 100,000. One woman said 1 million people are killed from rifles a year.
And, yes, a million people.
A million people. Can you imagine that? A million people killed. That's unbelievable. And I asked them all. I said, well, why do you think a million people? And they always said, because of the mass shootings. The mass shootings that are going on Sandy Hook, they're killing the kids. The Batman shooting, they're killing everybody. It's the mass shootings. Millions of people are dying. And, of course, the real number are 348 people a year are killed.
Well, the problem, Anthony, the problem is that here at Coast to Coast AM, we deal with we're in the enlightenment and awareness business, and we like to address the issue of ignorance, because ignorance can be cured. However, stupidity, you just have to let that go, because that's pretty much permanent in my experience of the world, and some people are just not going to get it. They're just not, and it's okay. But I got to tell you, the moment that you said the name Obama, you're going to be accused of being a right-wing nut, a right-wing nut. People do not understand that Obama has carried on the policies. I didn't like the Patriot Act at all. I don't like my phone tracking me around. I believe that was under George W. Bush. And President Obama has done exactly, he has carried out almost to the letter all of the policies that George W. started some years ago. So who do I talk to? Who do I talk to about that? It's just the way it is. They may not like it, but it's true. Guantanamo's still open. On and on and on. Go ahead. Take the wheel.
I hate to interrupt you. I apologize. I was just going to say.
No, it's good.
I'm just fired up. You know, I think we get each other going. I think we're having a lot of fun, a lot of information.
That's a problem.
Indeed. But this interview is a perfect example of something that could never take place in the mainstream media ever, ever. So the first part of this, we talked about GMOs. We talked about alternative health. I'm sure we're going to get back into it perhaps. But the fact is, that's something that so-called progressives talk about. Oh, only progressives talk about that. And I've been on so-called progressive shows, and I've been on so-called conservative shows a bunch of times. I've been on the Drudge Report. I've been mentioned in Tom Hartman, and they always try to have me on. But the fact is, we just talked about a progressive issue. Now we're talking about what you would call a conservative issue if you're in that whole fake paradigm. But guess what? We're neither progressive nor conservative. We're in the business of reality. We're in the business of telling people about reality. That's what it is. I'm not even drawing conclusions, and neither are you. I mean, we're sitting here saying this is the hard statistics. 348 are killed from rifles each year, 418 from shotguns, 94 from other guns. The handguns, yeah, there's the real number, but guess how much is gangbang crime, and most of which is in gun-free zones?
Fatality every 6 hours in Chicago. A fatality every 6 hours in Chicago is what they say. Is that even possible?
You live in Texas, don't you? I mean, look at the crime rate around here. The guns, you talk to anybody around here. I mean, there's some gang crime, but it's not in any areas that there's a high amount of guns present. Or look at Georgia. Requiring people to have a gun just shoots down crime. Chicago, the gun ban. Here's an interesting statistic for you, and I have 100 pages in front of me, like I said, and I'm not kidding about that. But in Chicago, we can look. Right now, I'm looking at the Chicago graph, and the percentage of handgun murders after the ban, okay, 90%, 96% of the murders, of the firearm murders in Chicago after the handgun ban, for decades after, 96% were committed with banned firearms, 96%. And what do you think? What does that mean? It's a gun-free zone. where 96% of the firearm murders are committed with handguns, which have been banned for decades. Just completely banned. It's because the criminals get the guns. It's elementary to some people. I mean, it just makes sense to some people. We see the same thing in Washington, D.C. The crime rate just skyrockets after the handgun ban. And then once the handgun ban gets struck down because they realize it's so stupid and they can't possibly cover it up anymore, the crime rate just goes right down. How about the fact that Texas, when the gun ownership and the right to carry law became effective in Texas, which you have to live here for 6 months, you have to go through a training course. I know because I'm about to do, I just moved here, so I haven't lived here for 6 months, but you have to go through a training course where you learn how to use a gun. You learn how to not kill people, unlike New York City cops who were just shooting people randomly at that tower incident. But you learn how to use a gun. And once they realized that that's a good idea and the Texas right to carry law became effective, crime dropped by about 28% right away, whereas we see in Washington, D.C., after the D.C. gun ban, 73% crime increase. Texas right to carry, 28 to 30% down right away. Florida right to carry, 36% down right away.
And yeah, I remember the
criminals, they say they have not committed crimes in the past due to fear that an individual may have a firearm.
Well, there's nothing that'll chill out your plan to take down a score like the thought that it might be you that's the victim. I remember when it seems like Texas got a pistol carrying law in concealed carry permits or licenses. It's not a permit, it's a license, and there's a difference. About 1995, and the first thing that happened, like the first day, I believe, a great big guy, I want to say he was Tonganese, got mad at this guy in traffic and just he broke his jaw and everything else. And the guy sitting strapped into his car and just, he was killing him. I mean, two or three more hits and he would have had a brain hemorrhage more than likely, judging by the looks of him. And he defended himself with a pistol. And I noticed that when that happened, all of the road rage just stopped. You used to see people going up and down the freeways just out of control and they'd wave their pistol around. And then, I mean, it was absolutely nuts. It really was. And there were over 700, one year there were over 700 between Dallas and Fort Worth confirmed murders. Now, what percentage of those were done with firearms? I'm going to guess it was a fairly high percentage.
Well, yeah.
That's exactly, not the case anymore. The point is, that's not the case anymore. I mean, seriously, over 700 murders between two cities in a year? That's absolute insanity. So, fact of the matter is, I don't want to turn this into a gun control debate because people start flipping out and going, I don't want to hear about gun debate. It's like, okay, fine. I get it. However, it is important, particularly when the government is trying to disarm us. President Biden says gun control will pass before the year is out. So they're going to try it again. Now, get this. Bill Maher, you know, Bill Maher, politically incorrect, he's got an HBO series and all that. Bill Maher, he slams Boston police state. So it's not like just because we're talking about this makes us right wing. We're not. There's no wing. I mean, don't you agree, Anthony? This is not a left right deal. It just seems that the people who are the most strident in their desire to have these controls put on us seem to identify themselves as being on the left, and I don't buy it because, you know, Maher certainly looked like he was on the left, and there are several things he doesn't like. The taxes situation is one thing, and the way the authorities conducted themselves in Boston is the other. So, I mean, what does that tell you?
Well, Bill Maher says the Second Amendment should be burned. He says it's a piece of garbage. So, obviously, he's not a right-winger. And, you know, I disagree with a lot of things Bill Maher says, but he's right about Boston lockdown. And you talk about people getting upset about this whole gun issue. And I want to put this into perspective. There was a poll recently. You can probably pull this up. The Gallup poll. About what people think is the most important issue today to do. So,
well, I'll tell you what. Can you hold it right there and let us take our break?
Absolutely.
This was a Gallup poll about what people think is the most important thing to do right now, yes? Well, let's pick it up where we leave it off as we carry on through the night here at Coast to Coast AM. Thank you very much for being with us. Yes, indeed. When we come back, in just a moment, we will continue our conversation with Anthony Gucciardi and a poll indicating what's the most important thing to do. And then, We're going to talk about super soldiers. We're going to talk about smart guns. RFID-based smart guns require retina scans, fingerprints to work. Sort of like Bond's, which his PPKS, specially modified, would only respond to his fingerprints. Turns off within miles of school zones and, of course, government gun control zones can be remotely turned off wirelessly by government or manufacturer, doubtless through a NASA satellite. Interesting times, aren't they? Well, just remember, for every measure, there's a countermeasure. We'll explore those too when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, just to underscore what I mentioned a minute ago, it is a shooting every 6 hours in America's gun control utopia, and that would be a great town. It's such a great town, Chicago. And they're at 400 and some odd, they're estimating somewhere between 400 and 500 homicides this year. It's absolutely crazy. 441 shootings and 100 homicides. So everybody who got shot didn't die, but 100 homicides in the city of Chicago so far this year, and that was one day ago. That was posted by WND. So anyway, Anthony, you were saying about a poll. Did you say there was a Gallup poll?
Yeah, so this is a Gallup poll. Also, I would mention that it's important to remember that of those homicides in Chicago, 96%+ of them, based on this information from the police in Chicago, at least from a few years back, 96%+ were committed, of course, with handguns that had been banned for decades. But so this Gallup poll, it was basically asking people, I can tell you what it asked. It said, what do you think is the most important problem facing this country today? So what should we do right now? Well, less than 4% of people in April 2013 said that we need gun control and to get rid of guns. Less than 4%. That's comparable to one that says lack of respect for each other, which I would agree with. But most people said that instead they wanted to focus on the economy. They were concerned with the federal budget deficit and federal debt. Perhaps that also means the Federal Reserve. And they were upset with how healthcare is going, immigration. Here's an interesting one, moral decline, unemployment and jobs. So they're interested in these other things. And, you know, you were talking earlier, a lot of people are saying, we don't want to hear about gun control. We don't want to hear about that. Well, you know, sometimes it comes down to an assault on something that is not a popular topic. And what we're doing is we're sounding the alarm. And we're not gun-toting crazy people that just love guns. I don't even care about going out and shooting guns. It's nice, sure, but it's about self-defense. It's about the Bill of Rights and everything. It's not about the guns themselves. It's about what the applications therefore of with the guns. And this poll underscores the fact that most people don't think we need gun control. It's really a political thing that they're doing to strip away the entire Constitution by setting a precedent, by getting some people behind, getting rid of the Second Amendment. And then what's to say that, why can they be selective with amendments? Why can they get rid of the Second Amendment but not the First Amendment? They can't. They can either get rid of the Second Amendment and then all of the other amendments they don't like, or they can't get rid of any.
Mm-hmm. Well, you take all of it or you take none of it. You can't just pick out the parts of the Constitution that you like just because you have some personal sensitivity. Now, I don't mind relating this. Let's just talk about firearms for a second. I went shooting within recent memory, went up to a ranch, and there was an accidental discharge. I didn't do it. My friend did it. Big bullet, too. 0.45 ACP. I watched this. Took the magazine out, cleared the chamber, tested the trigger, you know, snapped it, meaning dry fired it, put the magazine back in, jacked one right up the tube, and let it off by accident. People don't mean to screw up, they just do. So that is why you must go the up 2, 3, 4, do it by the numbers, do it this way, do it every time this way, never, never, ever. Let anyone pick up a loaded weapon unless you're properly standing at your little bench there and the muzzle of that weapon is pointed downrange. That's just the way it has to be. You cannot get used to it to the point that your familiarity overrides your judgment, because it will, and you'll forget. It's like you forget your glasses or you forget your wallet, you forgot your keys. You're going to forget. So that's why you train yourself. In this world, it's prepared or unprepared, trained or untrained, aware or unaware. Yes? So you just keep rolling. I'm just saying, as long as we're talking about this, personal responsibility is a necessary component. So let's not leave that out of the equation. But remember, where the criminal world is concerned, it's true. Where there's a will, there's a weapon. If necessary, they'll go into the basement and build one out of pipe. They used to do that in the old days. In some of the big cities, they call them zip guns. You don't hear much about it now, but it takes 10 minutes. It's nothing. So remember it. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, you think about, you know, a wasp, a bear, a dog even. My dog, interesting story today, attempting to trim her talons, as you would, her nails. She resisted in an instinctual way, saying, hey, get off me, get away from me. Well, humans, we have hands and we have feet, which, by the way, kill thousands of more than rifles every year, as do clubs and hammers, but that's a separate issue. Taking away the ability to defend yourself while a criminal has the ability to offend and kill you is taking away the extension of our instincts. We have technology. We have weapons to defend ourselves. No one goes to battle in war with their hands and feet unless there's a serious issue. Taking away weapons to defend ourselves, which, by the way, around 498,000 homicides, according to this study from 1993, so it's obviously way, it could be way less since crime's actually going down now, but 498,000 certain homicides are fended off each year by firearms. And besides that, we can see 989,883 potential homicides are fended off each year, while rifles kill 300 and mass shootings kill less than 30. So it's taking away the ability to defend while giving criminals the ability to offend. And, you know, there's a saying that I kind of thought about the other day, and that's that we're afraid, restrained, and trained by the government. So we're afraid of what they might do. We're restrained from speaking out about it and just looking at government takedowns to Google and everything like that. And we're trained to accept what the mainstream media is feeding us. We're afraid, restrained, and trained. And we don't want to look at any other angle because it would question what we know from our training.
You know, it's interesting looking at that site you mentioned a while ago, the 2045.com. I made a prediction a couple of years ago, that eventually you would see it, and tying it into your mainstream media comment, what if they made them look so good that you didn't even see a human being when you were watching the news? These you didn't have to go through a big, no, we got to find the person with the qualifications, and we got to find the right look that will attract the most viewers. And so what you see is actually a cyborg that looks perfectly human and is programmed perfectly to never make a mistake, always look great, always look convincing, incorporating all of those features that you want to see in a news anchor, so that you'll trust them more, make them more they have a very trusting, trustworthy eyes or demeanor about them. I mean, this is entirely possible, isn't it? I mean, it really is, because all the technology we know of as being current is 30 years, some have said 40 years ahead of what we think it is right now. So you and I have learned about these things we're discussing tonight. But I wonder how far out ahead of what we're talking about tonight things really are that we just don't know about yet and won't for a while. They're closely guarded secrets.
Well, you might not even know it, but your prediction's already come true. Did you see that in South Korea, I believe it was, they have a CGI model of this girl singer. And it's this massive band. It's like this girl band for younger kids. And they had all these members, and they took their facial structures and they ran it through this program. And they made a CGI image that looked so much like a real person that people thought it was a real girl. And they took all the features that they found attractive and they found, you know, alluring in some way. And they made this CGI person look like a real human being, and people were fooled. They had no idea. And then they announced it, and they were like, what? This is a CGI program? I mean, they're singing the songs and everything. It was a person doing the voice, and the CGI program would follow along with the lips. You can look it up. It looks like a real person. And they had no idea. So the technology certainly exists. I mean, this is consumer technology that they use to do it. So I would even go further than that there's probably already some type of person that is CGI. I mean, it could be done. I'm not saying it's Fox News or CNN has.
What if it turns out to be Jon Stewart?
Well, hey, maybe Bill Maher. I mean, who knows? Maybe only a cyborg could say some of the things that he does about burning the Second Amendment. But, you know, it's very possible. It's already been done in South Korea on such a small level from a private corporation. So imagine what CIA technology could do these days.
Oh, absolutely. We listen to Coast to Coast AM. Got a brilliant idea. We listen to Ivy John Kenobi. He talk about make cyborg look just like news anchor. We do. And so they did. And just kicked our bottoms in the process. I'll tell you what. Are these guys something or are they something? Those guys and girls over there. Well, all right then. Why don't we get into the super soldier thing a little bit? What does a super soldier do? What is it made of? And can we possibly relate to them as a fellow human being? Or is that automatically taken out of the equation?
Well, let me just put it like this. A super soldier is another way to say a highly mechanized, well-oiled slave to DARPA. We talked about earlier, you said you saw some of those images or videos of the little droid robot just running on a treadmill at massive speeds. And some of the creatures, you can look it up on YouTube, some of the DARPA creatures they make that look like a dog, you feel bad when they fall down. They look so lifelike. They look like a regular animal. And they're going to mount some machine guns on top of them. They're going to give them some, you know, AI technology. And they're going to go ahead and they're going to become the new police along with these super soldiers. But talking about 2045, I mean, there's just so much information on this site. I'm reading this one about how the Dalai Lama is supporting the initiative. And it goes on to say, several months ago, DARPA, the Pentagon's research arm, announced their own plans on creating a militarized avatar project serving as a soldier surrogate on the battlefield. So literally like, you know, kind of like the movie Avatar. And they're creating artificial bodies. You don't hear about this. It was on RT. I think you were talking about that earlier, but you don't hear about this. DARPA's created artificial bodies that use artificial brains and everything that soldiers will kind of strap in and control. And eventually, the soldiers themselves will become these bodies. And what it means, really, is just like the 2045 program, they'll be controlled by RFID-style technology, chip in their brain, someone on a massive supercomputer or someone behind a computer at the command center, safely away, thousands of miles away, like drones 5.0, will control these surrogate bodies or these fake bodies, if you call them humans, whatever. They won't need to eat. They won't need to sleep. They won't need to do anything. They'll be able to just go like highly trained killing machines, pick up 100 times their weight. There's already a Raytheon exoskeleton that can pick up massive weights and do all that kind of stuff. But that's not inner genetic engineering, which is what we're talking about. And that's the next level because it's ultimately the technological slave grid. That's what it is. Basically, not only will it be controlled by an RFID type technology, but there will be no option to say no. Right now, if a soldier finds something out, they can talk to their higher ups and maybe they'll get, you know, they'll get blasted for it or whatever. But this time, super soldiers, they can't say no. They do.
You know, I'm beginning to think that these science fiction writers like Bradbury and Asimov and Heinlein were actually prophets because so much of what they wrote about that seemed totally impossible back then to we on the ground, as you might say, they're coming to pass. They're coming to pass. All of it is. It's almost like, were these guys privy to some really serious inside information, or did this really come just through inspiration and they just decided to take a thought and run with it because it's becoming reality? What they presented before, talk about, does life imitate art or does art imitate life? It's like, well, both. First, art imitates life, and then life imitates art. And that appears to be what's happening in the technology world now. It's unbelievable to me.
Don't you think also media kind of sometimes they slip things in that are going to come and in the same time? I mean, according to some stuff, I was just listening to Alex Jones the other day that certain shows they correspond with some top intelligence chiefs and they kind of say, hey, you know, why don't you do this idea in a playful way, and they give them some information. So there's definitely some stuff with that as well. But hey, look as far back as the Book of Revelations if you want to get some sci-fi stuff that's coming true. But yeah, Ray Kurzweil, who's now with Google, is one of the individuals that forecast all of this pretty much down to the T a long time ago. And he's supporting 2045 and saying that super soldiers are great and that everyone should have artificial bodies and live forever. But you got to wonder, Are you really living forever? I mean, do you think they really can take you and put you in a new body, in an artificial body that's completely controlled by a supercomputer? Or do you think that's just, you know, a fake carbon copy of what you once were? I mean, what do you think?
Well, that's a very interesting question. And the first thing that comes to my mind is the insanity factor. I wonder just how much information and how much experience a human being can withstand without a computer augmentation to, inject them at the right time with an anti-anxiety elixir of some sort. I mean, what you're talking about and what these 2045 folks are talking about is really the ultimate human being amplifier, which can be, I suppose, as advanced as they want it to be. It could be just little, like, slave drone. It's a ground drone, effectively. It's like those things in that little movie, Battle L.A. I mean, it's the same thing, just why not? It seems like I say why not. I'm not saying let's do it. I'm saying, well, why wouldn't they try that? They've decided that, say, warfare is a little bit dangerous. Maybe we should send a drone instead. So they do. And now they'll just send biped drones and quadruped drones. And I was talking the other night about the little drones that they've made that are the size of mosquitoes. They can extract DNA or inject a drug or a vaccine or whatever, or a little bit of radioactive substance. It's not enough to cause any problems right away, but makes it really easy to track you wherever you go. It's coming to pass. Now, my question to you is it stoppable? Because there's so much money behind it. How can it be stopped?
Yes, it can be stopped. And the reason it's not being stopped so quickly right now, same thing ties in with the whole GMO thing, is because we're looking ahead right now, tonight, but people are looking right about what's going on right now. But we can see the pattern of what's going on. I mean, look at this, for example, these smart guns. They're going to be in the United States next year. In 2014, the smart guns are going to be on the streets. And you mentioned them earlier. Smart guns are these creations that use RFID. It's all about RFID. I mean, if you want to really know where the world is headed, look up RFID. Look up where that is headed, what people are using it for, and all the patents on it. This smart gun is controlled by RFID. It requires retina scans or fingerprints or both to turn on, and can be turned off at any point wirelessly by the United States government anywhere in the entire world and made completely useless. The gun will dismantle if they choose to turn it off. And guess what? When you enter a school area or you enter a gun-free zone or somewhere that they deem that you cannot use the gun, it doesn't even have to be in law. They just decide you can't use it there because, hey, it's a private weapon, right? Well, they can turn it off anytime with the RFID technology. You can't use it in their circumstances. So let's say, for example, you're in a gun-free zone in a school or whatever, and someone comes in to do harm to you. Well, your gun doesn't work anymore because it's a smart gun and it's going to be turned off. So people say, why would I ever buy this? Well, I am predicting that when this comes out, here's their answer. They know they can't destroy the Second Amendment effectively.
So they'll just turn it off.
You guys need to buy it. They're going to make it a law. You can have guns. You just have to have a smart gun.
Gotcha.
Hey, I mean, otherwise, you're breaking the law using it in gun-free zones, right?
That's right. Well, just hang on to that 1911 because it'll serve you well in future. Maybe your Glock as well. All right, Anthony. Yes, the smart gun, a concept that aims to reduce the misuse of guns through the use of RFID chips, fingerprint recognition, or magnetic rings. Only the magnetic devices are readily available, easily manipulated from a satellite, I am sure, or maybe even a smart meter. Now there's an idea. This is Coast to Coast AM. Thanks a lot for being with us. We will be right back.